Hi, ladies. Thank you for listening to this podcast with me. My name is Trish Dietz, and we will be looking today at Revelation, chapters 2 and 3. These two chapters contain letters written to the seven different churches in the first century. They were personal words of warning and judgment for sin and hope, given by Jesus and penned by John. Though written 2,000 years ago to the churches in Asia Minor, they are relevant to churches today and to us as individuals who make up the church. With our time together for this podcast, we will be focusing on the warnings to these churches. Warnings, well, they're wake-up calls. They could be sounding alarms. They could be words of admonishment, correction, indicating in advance a notice of danger. I was born and raised in Iowa, and whenever I hear the word warning, I can't help but think of Midwest tornado warnings. That loud, blaring siren indicating it was time to take immediate action. And when that siren sounds, it means a tornado's been sighted or it's been indicated in an area by weather radar. There's imminent danger to life and property. One time, we were back visiting family in Iowa with our children, who were all born and raised in California. Now, our California native kids, they're familiar with sudden earthquakes, but not tornado signs and warnings. One day, when we were driving on a highway through the flat Iowa cornfields, we saw that telltale ominous sky indicating something was brewing. And sure enough, there was an alert on the radio, with an alarm buzzer stating, "The National Weather Service indicating a tornado warning is issued in your area." And then the buzzer went on again. The radio alert was simultaneously echoed with a community siren, which if you've ever heard it, it's loud, it's piercing, for all to hear. The point? Get to shelter now. Well, on that visit, our daughter, who was in elementary school at the time, understandably panicked, and she cried in the car, "Turn it off!" You know, tornado sirens are frightening. The warning is sharp and loud, but it's for the good, for those who are in danger. Ideally, when you hear a warning, you respond in haste, and you take necessary measures to be safe from harm. As I think back to when I was growing up there in Iowa, I remember one neighbor, however, would boast that he loved to sit on his porch and watch the storm approach. He'd send his family down in the basement, but he would not heed the warning personally. Thankfully, my parents taught us well to take those warnings seriously, and we didn't mess around. The minute we heard the siren, we know to go right to the basement from wherever we were. We knew the warning served as a life-preserving purpose. It was time to get to shelter. From these examples with tornado warnings, by their response, I saw three categories of reactions individuals might have to warnings. And notice, all heard the warning. Some say, "Turn it off. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to think about it. It's too scary." Secondly, some believe it doesn't apply to me. "Oh, I hear the warnings, but I'll escape the consequence. Others need to listen up and hear this." And then thirdly, wisely, others take immediate action. That's the best. That's the safest. You hear the warnings and you want to be kept safe. In light of this illustration, I've entitled this podcast on warnings, "Get to Shelter Now." Proverbs 18:10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong fortress. The godly run to him and are safe." When we are in the will of God, seeking to listen, trust, and obey, he is our fortress, our shelter. In each of the seven letters, Jesus begins by saying, "I know." For five of the seven churches who received corrective warning, the exhortation was to repent. He knows. We can't put a facade before our Lord. He knows our actions and our motives behind them. In light of what he knows perfectly, he sounds the warning when it's needed. He wants to lead us and keep us in the loving shelter of His care. He wants to lead us safely, protecting us from harm and the judgment for sin. These warnings, they declare the infinite love, power, and justice of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is always faithful to give His children warnings of sin and danger. At the conclusion of each message to the churches, the believers were urged to listen. John says 7 times to each church he addresses, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Do we really listen? Do we really hear what the Spirit is saying with the intention to obey and follow His commands? Ears to hear, listen up, pay careful attention, Jesus is saying. Look for personal application. God's word must first land on me and change me. It's not the attitude, "Oh, I wish so-and-so could hear this. This is for them." That would be the guy who stands on the porch and directs everyone else to get to shelter. He falsely believes he is immune to pending danger. This warning, ladies, it's for me. It's for you. It's for the church. Don't just listen to the words. Let the instruction penetrate deeply. Don't let the warnings go in one ear and out the other. Purposely listen and ask for understanding. As you read the Word of God, make an intentional, conscientious effort for the meaning and the application to me, and then take action. You know, hearing takes focus. It takes humility. It takes a teachable heart. It takes a willingness to be challenged and changed. More than any other exhortation in our text, Jesus says that he who has ears to hear, let him hear. This truth is especially important. It's a top priority that the Holy Spirit wants to reveal to you. Be very careful to pay attention. As you study the word, pray, underline it, highlight it, pause, meditate, look deeper. It's going to take the help of the Holy Spirit to understand this and not just head knowledge or commentaries. He wants us to hear personally. Why is Jesus pointing this out to me? Well, He's given us ears. Will we hear His voice and respond? Will we get to shelter? This is the resurrected Christ speaking. He wants us to walk in all He has for us. He's coming for a church after His own heart. First, be intentional with application personally, and then living and passing on the lessons to others. I'm using the outline for this podcast from our Revelation study booklet on page 22. The first warning is, don't forsake your first love. He's speaking to the loveless church. Specifically, this letter was to the church of Ephesus. You know, the deeds of the Ephesians were hard work and perseverance. They didn't tolerate evil people. They had discernment. They suffered. They didn't give up. But the failure of these Christians was primarily the loss of love for God and love for His people. The consequence would be the absence of the Holy Spirit, and the results would be in division and fighting. Such a contrast to what Paul had written this very church 35 years earlier, where he said he's never stopped giving thanks for them because of their faith in Christ and their love for the saints. Most in this church were now second-generation believers. Though they knew the evil when they saw it and they didn't tolerate it, though they had maintained a high level of service, they were lacking in deep devotion of love to Christ and to others. How the church needs to heed this same warning. Christ wants believers' hearts and loving devotion as well as service with their hands and feet. The love of God and others is brought about with a deeper understanding and appreciation of God's love for us. Jesus is asking, what happened? I miss you. Remember the sweetness of the first days when you were overwhelmed with thoughts of Jesus and we'd go and do whatever he asked? Return to that. More than anything, God wants that we have love. Don't pretend to love. Really love. 1 Corinthians 13 beautifully describes love. We could speak in all languages of earth and the angels, but if we don't love others, we're just like a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. We could have a lot of spiritual gifts, possess great knowledge and faith to move the mountains, but we're nothing without love. We could give every single thing we possess to the poor and even give our very lives, but we gain nothing without love. Love is, well, it's patient, kind, humble, not rude. It doesn't demand its own way. It's not irritable. It doesn't keep track of wrongs. It rejoices when truth wins. It never gives up or loses faith. It's always hopeful. It's enduring through every circumstance and trial. Faith and hope, ladies, are essential, but love is the greatest of all, and it'll last forever. The warning here is turn back to your first love. He's not going to stay in a loveless church. Repent, or the presence of Jesus and his Holy Spirit leaves. The second warning is don't be deceived. This is speaking to an immoral church, and in particular to the Church of Pergamum. You know, it wasn't easy to be a Christian in this city. It was the center place of worship for four of the most prominent false gods and cults of the day. Jesus says this is the place where Satan has his throne. People came from all over the world in vain to seek attention and help from one of these false gods. There was idolatry, pagan worship, sexual immorality was rampant. To the church's credit, they did not deny Christ. Even though threats of persecution always loomed, they stood strong in their faith in Jesus. But some in the church were tolerating what Jesus clearly hated and opposed: idol worship, sexual sin. Some were participating in pagan feasts and celebrations. This led to corruption within the church and the stumbling of others. You know, if Satan can't get believers to deny their Lord, he's going to use another tactic. Fitting in with other religions and worldly customs is one way. Warning here, if you justify or tolerate these pagan worldly practices, Christ will come suddenly and fight against them with the sword of his mouth. The third warning, don't compromise. This is to the church that tolerates sin. In particular, this was the letter to the church in Thyatira. Similar to the sins of Pergamum, this church was trying to blend in and be part of the world, and, you know, it just can't be done. Many in Thyatira were tolerating a woman named Jezebel who was teaching compromise with the pagan world. She was leading believers into worship of idols and sexual sin. You know, you can't compromise with evil practices. See sin for what it is. It's destructive, and it's dishonoring to God. This church was known for good deeds, and they even had love for each other. They had and were constantly improving on areas of service. They were growing in their faith. They had patient endurance. They had good works. They had lots of love, but they tolerated sin. Christ wasn't pleased with Jezebel's teachings or the fact that believers tolerated her. In his mercy, he gave her time to repent, but she wouldn't turn away from her wicked ways or her teachings. The warning here, this church was warned to keep pure teachings and separation from sin. And if they failed to repent, there would be intense suffering for continuing on these ways, as Jezebel taught. The fourth warning, don't presume. This is to the dead church, to the Church of Sardis. They had a reputation for being active and great devotion to the Lord, but spiritually they're dead. It was wealthy, It looked good on the outside in terms of whole ministry. Some were very devoted. But in reality, it was lethargic, lifeless, dead. It was infested with sin, and they were trying to live on past glory. They were saved, but dead. These are ways to wake up from a spiritual dead slumber. Jesus tells them, wake up. Secondly, strengthen what remains. Thirdly, take time to remember how God called you when you first believed and how you responded. Fourth, he says, hold fast. It's not just a fleeting moment of inspiration, but apply in every circumstance what he tells you. Change. And then fifthly, repent. Do practical application of what you've heard. No words of commendation for this church because of its corruption. The warning is, Jesus told them to wake up and stop being careless, strengthen what is there and is about to die. The fifth warning, don't be complacent. This is the lukewarm church. To the church in Laodicea, this church forgot how desperately dependent they were on their Savior. This letter had no words of commendation. They were rich, they were powerful, but they were not faithful and true. They were likely the wealthiest of all the churches Jesus addresses. With wealth, there may have been self-reliance. Whatever the source, they were unaware of their condition of being wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked. Christ knocked at the door of their heart. But they were so immersed in worldly pleasure that they failed to notice him trying to enter. How sad. He reminded them that true riches are in him alone, to go to him for needs and satisfaction. The warning here, they were told to turn from their self-reliance and deception and repent of their lukewarmness. So five of the seven letters included stern warnings. But to the churches of Smyrna and Philadelphia, there was no warning written. They were rather words of comfort and hope, tender encouragement of assurance that he sees and he knows, words of praise, acknowledging their faithfulness and promises as a result of that. There was no call to repentance. Now, they had not attained perfection, but they were continually reaching for obedience. Ladies, we've been reminded of the warnings. Have you listened? Have you heard? Is there an area where there's a loss of your first love, love for others? Is there an area where you're looking like the world or you tolerate sin? Have you sunk into a spiritual slumber or maybe living on past glories? Are you lukewarm? We have a choice in what we hear. Will we plug our ears and say, turn it off? Will we stay on the porch ignoring the warnings while others do what's necessary to stay safe and reason that this message is for someone else? Or, and wisely, will we get to shelter? Now, will you run to the Lord and ask him for forgiveness and help? As I've pointed out, each letter concludes in hearing what the Spirit says to the churches. And my prayer for us all is, Lord, help us to have ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to us today. God bless you all.